searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. They're making promises but can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, God is love indeed, and I want to praise and thank God that we're here doing this program live. This is a live program. The announcer from WTMR inadvertently said it was an encore, but it is live, live radio. We are here in the studio, as we are, you know, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. However, today, Monday is a tape day. But we have an interesting program for you today, so stay tuned, and we look forward to, if possible, to having a little time for some questions and answers, if our guest would allow us the time to do so. I just want to praise and thank God for each one of you, for your love, your support, your prayers. I mean, prayer underpins everything. And so we praise and thank God for each one of you. It might be my voice that they hear, and this goes out globally, you know, so it might be my voice that is heard. But without you, you are the very backbone to keep this Catholic Radio Apostolate on the air. It is you that are the backbone behind this. So it's not my Catholic Radio Apostolate. It is our Catholic Radio Apostolate. And by virtue of your baptism, you have been called, you've been sent, just like every baptized Christian. So my brothers and sisters, once again, I just want to praise and thank God for each one of you, for your fidelity to Catholic Radio, and for your prayers that underpin, and your financial gifts that allow us to continue to be a voice for those who have no voice, particularly the unborn, all those that are marginalized, and also to continue to be a voice for family, marriage between a man and a woman, and life, that we can have it to the full. Today, many of you might have heard her down at the March for Life. She was one of the main speakers for the pro-life march, and she's an amazing woman with an amazing story, and I'm talking about our guest today. Her name is Sue Ellen Browder, and we're blessed to have her on the air today. I'll tell you a little bit about her. She's a freelance writer, and she's appeared on Oprah, as a matter of fact, in her wonderful book, Subverted. I just read a story in there about being on the Oprah program. Very eye-opening. And so, like I said, she's a freelance writer. She's appeared on Oprah, the Today Show, and hundreds of other radio talk shows. Her work for Cosmopolitan, New Woman, Woman's Day, and other magazines has indeed given her a lifetime of experience with a woman's movement as it unfolded in the media, both on the public stage and behind the scenes. So with that, I would like to welcome to the program today Sue Ellen Browder. And Sue Ellen, it's a blessing to have you on the program. Welcome.
It's great joy to be here. Thank you, Kathleen.
You know, we're all aware of the great movement that took place in the 60s into the 70s, this so-called woman's liberation movement. And you were caught up in that at one time, very much caught up in it. And so many of us, you know, at one time in our lives, have our ears tickled, as the scriptures say, and we get caught up in lies. But you, the Lord used you very powerfully, in a way that could bring truth out of darkness, light out of darkness, and truth out of a lie. So we're pleased to have you on the program today, and we're going to talk about what was it, what was the darkness, and what was the light that brought her out of darkness, and what was the truth that set her free to become all that she is today. You heard me say she was a speaker. First and foremost, we'll get into that down at the Pro-Life March. And let's talk a little bit about that, Sue Ellen, if you'd be so kind. You were very much a gift to all those who heard you speak. And again, it is the pro-life movement is the real movement for women, because, you know, out of all those babies that are being killed, they claim that over half of them are women. So, I mean, if there was ever propaganda against the women, it is in the abortion industry, because these women are being aborted. And it's somebody like yourself, Sue Ellen, that can give a clear picture of the truth, and how that truth was so distorted that so many times people bought the rhetoric, the incendiary, especially what we're hearing today, you know, the war on women. It's not true. It's not true. And it'll take people that are filled with holy boldness, like yourself, that have had that deep walk, looking deep within their own heart, mind, and spirit, like we all have to do, and checking into our own hearts and say, this is propaganda. So tell us about your involvement in the pro-life movement, and tell us a little bit about your talk, and then tell us why you wrote this book, Subverted, and how you are experienced to talk about the women that have been subverted and still today are believing this new propaganda that there is this war on women. So if you would be so kind to tell us a little bit about your coming to the pro-life movement and speaking.
Well, the speech that I gave at the convention, the March for Life convention this last week, was why the pro-life women's movement is the authentic women's movement.
Amen.
And you have to, there's a lot of things to fill in the blanks on that, besides what you're saying is absolutely true, but I've got some hidden information.
Great.
That hadn't been known before about how the women's movement was hijacked by the sexual revolution. The original women's movement was a pro-family feminist movement, and it got hijacked.
Yeah. How'd that happen?
Well, it's a long story. As I say, this book is called Subverted, How I Helped the Sexual Revolution Hijack the Women's Movement. And I was a writer for Cosmopolitan magazine. I had a wonderful degree from the University of Missouri School of Journalism. I was trained to be an investigative reporter, but I fell from grace, and I became a writer for Cosmopolitan magazine, very exciting to me at the
sure.
time in the 60s. And so the first story in this book is how an old Cosmo writer becomes a Catholic. I didn't become a Catholic till I was 57.
Well...
And now, as I told you, I live next door to my priest on the church property, and I've become the church lady.
I think that's awesome.
So it's been a wonderful journey. The other story, though, that I focused on at the March for Life was, again, what you said previously is very important. You said it's about the listeners. It's about us.
Yeah.
we have so much many feelings in our society that it's all about me. You know, I belong to me. It's me. There was an op-ed in the Washington Post while I was there in D.C. A woman wrote, here's the headline, "I am a successful lawyer and mother because I had an abortion." The Post ran that, but they would not run our op-ed I wrote with the president of the March for Life on all our interconnections.
That's amazing.
It's all about me.
Yeah.
Me. In the beginning, when I was at Cosmo, I didn't understand that there were these two views of personhood clashing in our society. One being, it's all about me, and the other being, that it's all about God and us. And so, what is it? But as a Catholic, you're saying to your listeners, it's all about us. And that was the point I was trying to get across in the March for Life, that whatever harms the baby harms the mother, whatever harms the mother harms the baby, and whatever harms either of them harms us all. That human rights are indivisible. We can't pit a mother's rights against her baby's rights and think that we've found justice. It can't be done.
It really can't be done. You know, when you think about how God has filled you with wisdom, how he's given you a gift of that holy boldness to be able to speak the truth. My brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you, this is by Ignatius Press. It is Subverted, and that's exactly what you can expect when you read this. Indeed, when she says how she herself helped the sexual revolution hijack the woman's movement, written by herself, Sue Ellen Browder, and it's on all your bookstores. And if there was ever a time, you know, we're in a very pivotal time in the church. We're coming up to not vote as Republicans or Democrats, but vote as our Christian mind, our heart, and our spirit. We have to vote our conscience. We have to vote as well-informed people of God. And we can't let things that could tickle our ears sound good. Not everything that sounds good and looks good is good. And we have a woman today that has experienced being caught up in what looks good, sounds good, being one, you know, writing for Cosmopolitan magazine. I mean, that's every young journalist's dream, and certainly tickled her ears and led her into to be caught up in this propaganda, to soft pedal, you know, premarital sex, contraception, and the rest. And she's lived it. She's lived it. She wrote, she helped create part of that sexual revolution and the women's movement. She's a voice of authority here, my brothers and sisters. So if you would like to pick up a book, you got people that are graduating schools, you have birthdays, you have graduations, all kinds of things. And to be a well-informed person, pick up this book and not only buy one for yourself, but buy one for someone that really needs to hear the truth. Someone that lived it, was caught up in it, and through the grace of God was enlightened to know this is not who she was created to be. And after searching her own heart and her own soul, realized that she was not using her gifts, not using her talent for the glory of God, but to be hijacked herself as a woman. And so I'm going to ask you to really look at your bookstores. Again, it's by Ignatius Press, Subverted, How I Helped the Sexual Revolution Hijack the Woman's Movement by Sue Ellen Browder. Let me ask you a question, Sue Ellen. When was it in your own life that you felt God calling you to gather the experience that you had there to gather that and to bring it out into the light, to dispel that darkness with truth. When was that? What was that struggle? And it had to be a struggle to give up so much. It had to be a struggle. How did the Lord, how did the Spirit of God touch your life? And how the heck, through it all, did you become a Catholic?
Well, of course, it was a long journey.
Yeah.
The moment I had a beautiful marriage to a wonderful man, and he was the one that suggested we become Catholic.
Right.
And I was at that point, as I say, we had gone back to the church, we had become Episcopalians, we were struggling to find the truth.
Right.
And when I opened up the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I read it for 2 days straight. I could not believe it.
Mm.
This was the Catholic Church. This was supposed to be the stuffy old Catholic Church. It wasn't anything what had been told to me in the media. This was about beauty and truth and life and love and goodness and forgiveness. And I just fell head over heels in love with the Catholic Church. I have to say honestly, and to my great fault, I would suppose, that I fell in love with the church before I fell in love with Christ.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful.
And only, you know, now I realize, of course, that the relationship with Christ is at the center of all that truth that I saw in that book. You know, it would make sense that me as a writer would be... converted by a book.
yeah.
But it wasn't the Bible that converted me. It was the Catechism.
Hmm.
But why did I write this book? Now, I had been a Catholic for, we came into the church in 2003, and I didn't start writing this book until 5 years ago, so it was 2010.
Welcome home,
by the way. And what happened was a friend of mine, a Catholic friend who had had 3 abortions, asked me to go with her to the Walk for Life in San Francisco because she wanted to be silent no more, and she wanted some support as she did that. So I went with her, and she was telling me about her abortions as we drove in and all of this stuff. And as I was standing in front of the Silent No More stage, Father Frank Pavone, or is it Pavone?
Pavone.
Is it Pavone?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes,
Father
it's Pavone.
Pavone. I've also heard it pronounced Pavone,
of
Priest for Life. He's head of Priest for Life, was speaking from the platform there, from this, and he looked at all of us, and he's very dynamic. And I was standing right in front of him, and he looked directly at me, and he said, "So what are you going to do?" And this book subverted how I helped the sexual revolution hijack the women's movement is my answer to Father Frank's question.
Wow.
And guess what? I met him at the March for Life.
Isn't that amazing?
I was in the Priest for Life room. They talked to me. And so I was able to tell him that this was the result of his question.
You know, as I was going through your book, one of the things I think isn't as amazing is the propaganda and the lie that issues forth. I am so disappointed. My heart is so frustrated with the court when here they charge these two people who brought the truth out into the so that everybody could see what really takes place at Planned Parenthood, and who gets charged, not the people selling the body parts, but who gets charged are those that went in there and, according to them, illegally, you know, brought all that information forth.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. I mean, I was flabbergasted. Not surprised in a way, but so disappointed. But you, being, you recount yourself in this book with your, you know, your dream job, that you yourself were a dedicated follower of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. You know, I've done a lot of programs on Margaret Sanger, and I've spoken about all the her own. They have her picture up, and they have her, you know, her quotes about her, her own quotes that came out of her mouth. She was here to destroy, not life, nothing about saving a life. She was there to destroy a certain element of society. And that even to this day, this many years later, Planned Parenthood, they're always opening up in the poorest of the poor neighborhoods, which is not only the poorest among us, but they're usually within Afro-American or Hispanic, low-income areas. They carry that, they carry that same mentality of what Margaret Sanger really was and what she stood for and what she believed in. And I have all her written, all the newspaper articles, and I put them out to tell people what's really behind Planned Parenthood. You walk that walk. Tell us about it.
That's right. But I would, yes, because at Cosmo, we followed in Margaret Sanger's footsteps.
Right.
You know, sex without the kids will set you free.
Right.
That was her belief. But you know what? The Margaret Sanger view of personhood was also embedded. Now, this is kind of complicated. Her biographer, Larry Later, who I talk about in this book, was the one that convinced Betty Friedan to insert abortion into the women's movement.
Right.
And Larry Later, who was the co-founder of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action
right.
League, now NARAL Pro-Choice America, originally the National Association to Repeal Abortion Laws. You see right there, you see how that propaganda begins to shift depending on the time of that it enters into the culture. They just change it. But anyway, he was good friends with Margaret Sanger, the man who wrote a book called Abortion, which became the foundation for Roe v. Wade. It became the argument for Roe v. Wade. It's all in the book. This book subverted. But Larry Later borrowed, let's go back to this view of human personhood that he borrowed from Sanger. And it went something like this. And this is the view of personhood that is embedded into the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade. It goes something like this. There is no God. Therefore, I am not interconnected with everyone and everything. Therefore, what I say, think, and do privately and alone behind closed doors is all about me and nobody else. It's my life. I can do whatever I please, and my rights are at war with everyone else's rights.
Hmm.
You see? And we've got in that Roe v. Wade, we've got a pregnant's rights, woman's rights, at war with the rights of her baby. That is a false understanding of personhood, and it comes from an atheistic viewpoint.
Yeah.
If we think that we live in a Christian nation today, we are wrong. If we think we can convince people just with rational arguments that we can win this, we can't. Because Christ is the only reason why that baby in the womb has a value.
Amen.
Otherwise, why not just, if God did not come, and this is Cosmo Girl talking, okay? An old Cosmo Girl talking. If God did not come from timelessness into time as a little baby, if God did not become man, then there really is no reason why you cannot cut up that little baby and sell off those body parts for profit.
Yeah. You have some pretty good people who reviewed your book, Jennifer Roback Morris, who I've had on many times here on the program. Of course,
right.
She's the founder and president of the Ruth Institute. And she writes here on the back cover, Subverted offers a window into our uniquely disturbed historical era. Generations of readers will turn to Subverted when they want to know what turned the tide.
Let's really hope that
because it's
going to take a lot more than my little book to do that.
Well, you know what?
People should at least know the truth.
That's right. And when you think about it, if your writing has been inspired, I believe it. And when you write under the inspiration of what you believe, what you have learned, where God has taken you on your journey to find the fullness of truth, then a little book can make a tremendous difference in the lives of many. And that's
right.
What I think this
God's
book,
grace.
To God's glory and His grace. So right. Again, the name of this book is Subverted. It's written right across the front of it in large letters. Sue Ellen Browder, she's on the phone today doing the interview in regards to the book. And again, it's about how she herself helped the sexual revolution hijack the woman's movement. This is a timely book. I really believe, Sue Ellen, I believe it's such a timely book because today the language has changed. You know, we're not in the 60s and the 70s, but those that turn from life to death is still very much among us. And I think this is a timely book, particularly about this whole element of war on women that is constantly being pushed down people's throats.
Right.
And you know, one of the people that used that themselves, he was a spokesman for one of the presidential candidates, and he said, and it reminded me of what I read a little in your book, he said, I knew as I was saying the things that I was saying, this rhetoric, this overly dramatic thing about war on woman, he says, I knew as I was saying it, it was not true. And he said, and part of why Americans hate politics is because of what I did. He said, I do not believe that there's any sort of Republican war on women. I don't believe there's a war on women, he said. And I have used that language many, many times. And he said, the truth of the matter is, if you hear that being said, it's, you know, he says it's semantics. Again, the language is being changed. People don't want to call themselves pro-abortive people. They call themselves, of course, choice now. It sounds better, looks better, and feels better on the ears and the conscience. But the truth is, it's still death. It's still
what
darkness.
What you're saying there, Kathleen, is very important. And what somebody at the March for Life, one of the speakers sitting beside me, we had a panel after my keynote, and she said, there isn't a war on women. There's a war on words.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're saying.
That's exactly
what
I'm saying, yeah. Can you hang around for a little bit to take some questions if you'd
sure.
be open? Okay, my brothers and sisters, we're going to take a little break. Don't go away. This is live, and Sue Ellen has graciously said she'd be willing to spend a little more time with us after the break. If you'd like to call and perhaps you have a question for her about her book Subverted or about where she is today and as a woman of faith and how she can speak as a voice of experience. I felt so strongly a woman who turned from darkness to light. And give us a call, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or you can hire toll-free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-34-FAITH. Once again, 1-888-34-FAITH. Don't go away now. We'll be right back.
We thank God for our one Holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in his sign Catholic Radio has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His sign, proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. You are listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy. And what the world needs now is for you and I, every single baptized person, to take seriously their baptismal call to go and make disciples. Well, there is a woman who took that call seriously, and she's making disciples by sharing her wisdom, her knowledge, her understanding, and the experience that brought her into the fullness of truth. And where Satan would have used all of those gifts for evil that God has given her, she responded to grace, and she uses those gifts for the glory of God. And so I'm talking about Sue Ellen Browder. Once again, her book is Subverted: How I Helped the Sexual Revolution Hijack the Woman's Movement. I encourage you to buy the book. It's written, it's such a light in darkness. So if you're pro-life particularly, and you're pro-woman and you're pro-family, this is a great book to pick up, Subverted. And we're going to open up the lines. If you'd like to call in, you'd like to speak to Sue Ellen, you have a question, or you'd like to make a statement, please do so. 610-527-2906, or call toll free 1-888-34-FAITH. One of the things I wanted to talk about on today, we are coming up. That's why I think this is such a timely book, Sue Ellen. We are coming up on an election year, next year. And we will be going to the polls. We will be having a primary coming up. And it can't be about personality or looks or charm. We have an obligation to be informed citizens, to vote with our Christian principles and morals and ethics. We're in a situation today And it reminds me of Silent No More. The women that have come out to say what abortion does, because they walked it, they lived it, and now they're using their voices. They won't be silenced, and they're given a great message. And so I think your message is so timely right now for people to understand the woman's movement in a far way, and how it, that same mentality continues today, whether it's war on women or whatever they want to call it, that they can persuade people by their rhetoric to believe a lie. So people have to be well informed. They have to be able to articulate the truth, which you so beautifully do, and get it out there. Get it out there. So I want to commend you on your book.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. But you know what? The problem is right now that it is very hard, and I'm speaking as an investigative journalist, it's very hard to be well-informed today.
Yep.
Because so much of our journalism is, the journalists themselves are propagandized.
Yep.
To the point that you've got all of this very divisive reporting going on, and very few people who, like you, who are trying to unify this back and talk about, you know, that we're all together in this.
Yeah.
Propaganda. We swim in a sea of propaganda. And propaganda can be 90% true. It's the 10% that gets you.
Yeah, yeah.
And those slogans that you're talking about, they're empty words. You know, war on women. What does that mean?
Yeah.
But that's a slogan that kind of resonates in some people's minds, and then they think it must be true.
Mm.
It's not. It's just propaganda.
That's right.
But as I say, this book will help you understand how propaganda works, because it's very important to know that. Yeah.
And your husband, is he involved with you in the pro-life movement, or does he get involved in other ways?
He gets involved in other ways.
Yeah.
Kathleen, yeah. He's gone. He died about 8 years ago.
Oh, he's doing the best work then.
He's involved in other ways.
Yeah.
He's still with us.
That's right.
Maybe more powerfully than we know.
That's right. Him and my husband are up there, and they're doing more than we could even possibly
imagine.
That's
right. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Speaking of propaganda, though, I was coming home on the plane from the March for Life,
uh-huh.
And we you know, there was that big blizzard, and so, you know, I was like 3 days in D.C. before I finally got out, and I was watching. I was on a late plane, going over the Rockies, and the moonlight was shining on the snow over the Rockies, and it was the most beautiful thing. And I looked around at that plane, and everybody that I could see was staring into a little teeny screen in front of them, and didn't see the reality of the snow on the Rockies in the moonlight.
Wow.
We're so propagandized, every one of those people, because when you get yourself all locked into that little screen, you're really not looking at God's reality, are you?
That's right, you're not.
You're looking at a construct.
Right.
Yeah, something that men made up, and men and women made up. And so we do have to listen to our hearts and vote with our hearts. It's very hard to find the truth out there today. It's all propaganda. There's
yeah.
a lot of it.
There is indeed. And there's so many wonderful people out there today. You know, we have, of course, the Priest for Life, which we're
right.
always, I mean, Father Pavone does a magnificent job, and especially now with all the people that have joined him in this work, Vita King. I mean, all these people have been
yes.
on the program many, many times, and having yourself on today. They, you know, the Priests for Life are doing what they can do in different ways. And they're like, they support the congressional panel that now is on infant lives. So I'm expecting, there's so many ways for people to become informed. And I think that's why we're why we're in the situation we're in. You know, people are, they're angry today. I mean, everybody sees. They're frustrated with government. They're angry. They feel they've been lied to.
They have. They're right.
Right. And this is why I say it's time. This is a time that we must be able to inform ourselves before we ever push a lever or pull a lever or push a button. Don't ever let a charismatic personality or a very articulate person that comes off with this rhetoric. Don't think that's the message. We have a message that's clear, it's concise, it's not it's black and white, there's not a lot of gray in it, and that's the scriptures, that's the teachings of the church, that's Christian principles, Judeo-Christian principles, and it's people that have well-informed conscience that can make a difference on this upcoming election.
And
we really have to. You can't say, I'm so angry, I'm not going to vote. People died, they shed their blood that we could vote. We have to go, and we have to vote, and we have to become informed. What does each person stand for? Do they stand for life? Guess what? If they don't, the rest of it doesn't matter in the end. The Lord says, I call you from the beginning of the Bible. I put before you life and death. I ask you to choose life that you might live. What, you know, if we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what good does it do? So I think there's a lot of that whole premise in your life story and in your book, Subverted. So again,
I was a lifelong Democrat until I became Catholic and got into and understood what the damage I had done as a Cosmo writer to the family and to women and to babies. And now I watch my vote very carefully, but I'm mostly Republican now.
Yeah, me too. Of course,
because the Democrats have abandoned the child.
Yes,
and the mother.
Exactly, and in my heart, I can honestly say before God, although I personally happen to be a conservative, I'm pro-life above all else. Because
me too.
We don't get
they've got
that.
They've got to get this straightened out.
Yep,
before
they have to. And I think it'll all fall into place. I think we're just beginning to have a deeper understanding of the true picture of abortion and life. And I think technology has played a part in that with the Knights of Columbus and so many people that have made it possible for these beautiful little pictures that you see in 3D of a pre-born baby in the womb, and in the very beginning, people are beginning to get it, that it's not just a tissue. Tissue is something you blow your nose on. This is a living cell, a living, breathing baby that was created within you. And so I am, and really, I do have 12 children, but if I didn't, I would feel the same way. I just had a brand new grandchild born, my little Justin James Houck, welcomed him into the world. I can say this as a mother, God will judge me first and foremost on life. And so we need to get that right. And brothers and sisters, if you're listening out there today, you can make a difference. You can make a tremendous difference, as Pope Francis says, not just a difference, but a radical difference in the world today by being informed and then taking that knowledge and act on it. So I give you kudos for this book, Sue Ellen. Tell me, what would you like to leave our audience with? For women in particular, but men just as much. That's the other side of that equation. We need to have pro-life men, pro-life women, and well-informed people to make the decisions that they're going to be called on to make. And it's not something once that person's in, you can't say, oh, man, I can't. Why did I vote for that person? We right. have to be well-informed beforehand. And then all we can do is make the best decision we personally can make, well-informed, and then go make the vote and trust God to work it all out.
Right, right. Well, I men seem to get this book as much or more than women do.
Yeah.
And because they understand that the sexual revolution was not good for women.
Yeah.
The men get it.
Yeah.
Even more so than the women do. So, as I say, to be pro-life is to be pro-woman, and to be pro-woman is to be pro-life. Don't let anybody convince you that you need to go to vote for women, that you have to vote against babies. You don't.
Right.
We're a package.
I like it. You know, many, many years ago, I had was in a discussion with a woman about, you know, when the thing was, well, it's my body, I'll do with it as I want. It's my own body. And that's what the, you know, these people cry out. And it's not your body, I said. And they said, can you prove that it isn't? I said, yes. What if you're carrying a little boy within you? You don't have a penis, but that little boy does. So it's not your body, it's his body. And she was dumbstruck, totally dumbstruck. It's not our bodies anymore when another life begins in it. It's a whole other life. And to say, it is my body, I'll do what I want with it. Well, maybe something like that is what you need to hear.
That was Margaret Sanger's line, you know.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. That was what.
It's oh, my body. It's yeah, my body,
and
yeah.
I can do with it what I want to.
Yep, there you go.
That game came from Margaret Sanger. Yep. It's all in the book. We trace through all of those things in Subverted. But we also want our listeners to know that one in three women, men you meet has been involved in an abortion in this nation.
Imagine.
And we have to reach out to those people and show them that there is healing and love, that we're not against people who've had abortions.
That's right.
We're against the breaking of the bond of love between the mother and the child.
Yeah.
We're not against those people that
Absolutely.
Had abortions, because there's great healing that can come from that. From Christ for that. So we do need to make sure that we're not coming off as holier than thou.
That's right.
When it comes to abortion,
right.
We're defending the bond of love.
Absolutely, and you know, I think that's why you talk with a voice of experience. I can talk for somebody that was in the church and walked away from the church. And I have come full circle back home and am able to say that there's so many people out there that need God's love, that need God's mercy, that need to be reached out to and be welcomed in and welcome home there where they think there is no way. God says, I will show you a way. There is a way. Where there is no way, I make a way. And so we have an obligation to be able to reach out to people in love and in mercy, but in truth, because that's the only thing that's going to set people free.
Right.
Well,
truth is a person, and the person is Christ.
That's exactly right. And may God continue to bless you, Sue Ellen. Hopefully, maybe I'll have the opportunity to one day meet with you on one of my own travels as I go out to speak as an evangelist. And where are you from?
I'm in California.
You're in California, okay.
I just want to congratulate you on 12 children.
Oh, you're still there.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I just had my 53rd grandchild.
Oh.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and I have
now
two.
Now that's the joy.
Yeah, and two womb dwellers due shortly. One due the end of the month, end of February. So we have, obviously, very prolific. You know, my family, they are all like-minded. They go down to the marches, but more importantly, they live the message of life.
What a blessing.
Yeah. So I guess our I guess our husbands up there have been doing a mighty work praying for all of us down here, still struggling and fighting the good fight and trying to run the good race, because we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. But praise be to God, He has never left us alone. He feeds us, nourishes us, heals us, and forgives us time and time again through the sacramental life of the church, which you attest to so beautifully.
Amen.
Thank you. I wish you much success, Sue Ellen, with your book. And maybe we'll have you back on again. So that would be another good interview. And I want to thank you for your time. And I want to thank you for being open to be used by the Lord in such a powerful way to come out of darkness and into light, which now you go forth with anointing and a blessing to go speak the truth and to do what you were sent into the world to do, and that's to make disciples. So God bless you.
Well, thank you, Kathleen, and God bless you too.
Thank you very much.
May
bye
bless
now.
Us all.
Yes, indeed. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we have about 7 minutes left. Once again, I can't say enough. I can't say enough. Please be well informed. Many years ago, several years ago, I remember before Archbishop Chaput ever came to Philadelphia, when he was still out there in Denver, he wrote a book called "Give to Caesar, Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and Give to God what is God." You know, we are called, and we will have to explain one day why we made the decisions we made and why we voted the way we voted. This is a very serious thing. And, we have a lot of people that are contradicting each other. But first and foremost, we know what pro-life feminism is about. We know that abortion has really served to hurt women and destroy life. We need to distinguish between lies and truth. Satan has been a liar and a murderer since the beginning. What does that tell us? That is God's own word to us, that Satan is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So anyone that would murder a child within the womb is a murderer. Call it any name you want. And he's a liar. He's a liar, and he wants to fill us with things that will tickle our ears. He wants us to get caught up in the propaganda that's being, just regurgitated over and over and over again about this war on women that doesn't exist. And the people that started it, one of their own spokesmen, I just quoted, it doesn't exist. So my brothers and sisters, please read everything you can on each one of the candidates that are running for the President of the United States of America. I have my own thoughts, my ideas. I wouldn't want to impose them on anybody other than when I talk about life. And I wouldn't propose that. I prepose it. I don't try to impose it. And we should get out there and propose the message of life as part of this. When we go before the Lord, our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors, different churchgoers. Hey, remember who put Obama in office, and it's not because I don't like Obama. It's because I don't like the kind of president he made when it came to He's the only president in the history ever of the United States that voted for to kill a baby, you know, that was already three-quarters out of the mother's womb. Come on, people, come on. We have to vote our conscience. If a person doesn't care about an innocent life that's being born, he's not going to care, or she's not going to care about our lives. It's going to be me, me, me. It's all about me. It's all about I want to do this. I'm not going to do that if you don't do this. It's not about that. It's about the dignity of every human life, and it's the dignity of every single person. And each one of us, every one of us, are called to make the best decisions that we can make, and we can only do that by being informed. So it's not about, hey, it's not about voting Republican or Democrat. It's not even about being a conservative or a liberal. It's about truth. It's about standing for life. I place before you life and death from the very beginning of Genesis. I call you to choose life that you might live. So let us make some informed decisions. Let us listen to the candidates. Not what they're saying, but what they really believe. And there's plenty of things we can, plenty of resources that we can look into their lives and to see if they line up to what they're saying. Well, my brothers and sisters, once again, I just want to tell you, I think that's a great read, Sue Ellen Browder, B-R-O-W-D-E-R. The book is called Subverted, and it's a real eye-opener for those who think there's nothing wrong with Planned Parenthood. There is, and comes out clearly in this book, among many, many, many other books. We need to remember who we are. We're God's own children. The Savior of the world was sent into our lives to be born of a woman. God holds the dignity of woman highly. He chose for the birth of his own son that it would be through a woman. Be the fullness of all you can as a woman. And men, cherish the women in your lives. Be informed. You might have a daughter, a wife. You certainly have a mother, a granddaughter, a fiancé, a girlfriend. Cherish the women in your lives, because the Lord thought so much of them that he sent the Savior of the world to be born of a woman. Mother Mary, I ask that you place your mantle over each and every one of us, not only us, but every one of our households. Jesus, hold us close to your sacred heart. And my brothers and sisters, if you are away from the church, this is a urgent time. Please, come on home. We're not complete without you. May God bless you, and God willing, till we meet again tomorrow.